Shalom. Welcome to Ask JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers this week, I want to speak about the murderous anti-American rioting and terrorist attacks that have been taking place throughout the Muslim and Arab world. Slaughtering people, chanting death to America, death to Israel, death to the Christians, death to the Jews, calling for Nazi genocide against anyone who's not a Muslim, screaming hysterically with fanatic blind hatred, huge mobs. And by the way, the media in the Muslim world, the media in the Arab world, support and agree with all of these rioting, fanatic Nazi lunatics. And there pretty much is a consensus among Muslims and Arabs that what they're doing is right, is the right thing to do. Why? Because one person decided to put out a video on YouTube that tells the truth, by the way, about Muhammad. It says that he was a pedophile. Doesn't it say in the Hadith, don't the Muslims themselves say in their own religious teachings that Muhammad married a six-year-old girl named Aisha and raped her when she was 8 years old? They consummated the marriage when she was 8 years old? That's rape. Raping an eight-year-old girl, having sex with an eight-year-old girl when he was in his 50s? Muhammad was in his 50s and he had sex with an eight-year-old girl? He married her when she was six? His last wife, Aisha? That's not pedophilia? And that's the founder of their religion. So because this video tells the truth about that and tells the truth about how Muhammad murdered innocent people, how Muhammad robbed and pillaged and committed unbelievable crimes, because the video simply tells the truth as is told also in the Quran and in the Hadith, as the Muslims themselves brag about. They brag about Muhammad's murder and his robbery and his rape and the other monstrous crimes he committed. They're proud of it. They think the Prophet did something great when he did all of these terrible crimes. And this video simply exposes it, honestly. But because of this video on YouTube, they want to exterminate anyone who's not a Muslim. They want to exterminate billions of people who are not Muslims. They want to tear to pieces anyone who's not a Muslim because of this. And isn't it interesting that they blame all Americans, all Christians, all Jews, for a video that one Egyptian Coptic Christian created? If one person creates something, they blame everybody right away. And these are the same people that say you can't blame all Muslims for Muslim terrorism. These are the same people that say that, but they're the first ones to blame everybody when one little video is put out by one person that everybody has been condemning. By the way, everybody's been condemning his video, which I think is really outrageous. What are they condemning? Why are they condemning him? What did he do? He just told the truth in his video. What was the big deal? And look at this. Look at this in the context of what Muslims don't protest against. Millions of Muslim men, women, and children have been slaughtered by other Muslims, and that the Muslims never protest about. In the Iran-Iraq war, for instance, when Iran and Iraq went to war, over 2 million Muslims were slaughtered by their fellow Muslims, and the Iraqi Muslims used poison gas against the Iranian Muslims. The Iranian Muslims had six-year-old boys with Qurans in their hand charging into Iraqi artillery. I mean, just unbelievable cruelty and monstrous crimes against their own people, against their own fellow Muslims and against their own people. That the Muslims never protest. You never see Muslims charging into Iranian or Iraqi embassies to protest that. You never saw that once. You never saw any protest this year alone. 20,000, we've witnessed how 20,000 Syrian Muslims have been slaughtered by their fellow Syrian Muslims. 20,000, over 20,000, at least 20, over 20,000 Syrian Muslims have been slaughtered by their fellow Syrian Muslims. Have you seen any protests at any Syrian embassies? Have you seen anybody get up and make a big deal about this in the Muslim world, in the Arab world? No, Muslims slaughtering other Muslims by the tens of thousands, by the millions. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But let one person put out a video on YouTube that tells the truth about Islam, that simply says the same thing that it says in the Quran and the Hadith about Islam, that will provoke, in dozens of countries, mass demonstrations and riots, and people are killed and slaughtered, and American and Israeli flags are burned, and they even attack the German embassy. What are the Germans had nothing to do with this. They attacked the German embassy, they attacked all these, the British embassy in Yemen, they attacked the German and British embassies. I mean, it's just, in Afghanistan, the Afghan police, the Afghan Muslim police and soldiers that are being trained by the United States and NATO, keep killing their trainers. They keep turning the guns that the United States and NATO are giving them. They turn the guns on the people that are training them and trusting them. This happens over and over again. This week alone, 6 Americans were killed, two British soldiers were killed in Afghanistan by the Afghan police and soldiers that they're training. Same thing happened to the Israelis when the Israelis were training the PLO terrorists, the PLO Fatah terrorists, because the PLO Fatah terrorists were supposed to protect Israel against the Hamas terrorists, according to the insane Oslo mentality. And they did the same thing. And then people are surprised. They're shocked. They're shocked when Muslims act like Muslims. This is what Muslims did in the days of the Quran, in the days of Muhammad. They're doing it again. And then people are shocked when Muslims do what the Muslim religion tells them to do. I don't see what's so shocking. And Iran races toward nuclear bombs, and nothing is done. Netanyahu wants to come to the United States and goes on American television shows to beg Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, to beg him on his hands and knees, begging him to set red lines and to support what Israel would do and not to tell Israel not to strike Iran, begging him and praising him. And I mean, just unbelievable how sick this is. Obama is telling Israel to die. Obama's telling Israel to accept a nuclear holocaust. Obama's telling Israel to go back to the pre-1967 suicide boundaries. Obama told Israel that Jews are not even allowed to live in Jerusalem, and Netanyahu is saying the United States-Israel alliance has never been stronger. I mean, this is just absolutely beyond the pale. What an insane world we're living in. What an insane world we're living in. And while all of this is happening, you would think that the American people would wake up and realize that Barack Hussein Obama, who told us that we were going to have wonderful relations with the Muslim world after he was elected, because he said he, because of his Muslim background, he understands the Muslim world, and that would change all of the anti-American hatred and hostility in the Muslim world. He was going to change all that. You remember he went to Cairo and got down on his hands and knees and was kissing Muslim behind in Cairo, and kept praising the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran. He kept quoting, he kept saying, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran. Dozens of times he kept repeating the Holy Quran. He never says the Bible is the Holy Bible, but the Quran to him is holy. And Barack Hussein Obama, who wanted to meet with Ahmadinejad and with the Iranian mullahs and ayatollahs that have murdered thousands of Americans and that have promised to destroy America and Israel, he wanted to meet with those Nazi beasts. You remember? He was nice. He's put more pressure on Israel than on Iran. Now, he concentrated for the first several years of his administration on telling Netanyahu that you're not allowed to let Jews live in Jerusalem in their own capital. That was his main focus. As far as Iran is concerned, he diluted all the sanctions that Congress was passing. Congress passed tough sanctions against Iran. He diluted all of them. In the election year, he started implementing some of them partially. You would think after all of this, after watching him bow before the Saudi king, you remember the picture of him bowing before Obama, bowing before the Saudi king? You would think the American people would finally wake up and realize, what the hell are we getting ourselves into here? This is insane. Appeasement doesn't work with the Muslim Nazis. What are we getting into here? But no. Obama leads in most of the swing states and leads in 9 out of 10 of the latest national polls. Obama's ahead. I mean, what an insane world we live in. And we in JTF are so important. We are the only voices of truth and sanity in this whole situation. We must work urgently now to defeat Obama on November 6th, in the November 6th election. And we must work urgently to wake people up before it's too late. Urgently. Our videos in English and in Hebrew, the JTF videos in English and in Hebrew, are not only the best videos on the internet, they are the videos that really are the only ones that tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They are the ones that expose the real situation as it is, in both English and in Hebrew, for Israeli Jews to wake up. Now more than ever, I think people can clearly see that our message is so essential for survival. So essential. And the only issue is how many people will see our message and not just see it once, but see it repeatedly. That's the issue. If enough people would see our videos in English and in Hebrew repeatedly, this world would be a better place. This world would change for the better. That there's no question about. Now, there are many thousands every week who do see our videos. Remember the video that I've been mentioning every week now, the best anti-Obama video ever, it's called? Now it has 70,000 views. Remember I started speaking about it like 4 weeks ago and it had 35,000 views? Now it already has 70,000 views. That's just one of our videos. The great video that the great Dan Ben-Noach did on Samantha Powers, Obama's advisor, saying that the United States should invade Israel. Not Iran, Israel. The United States shouldn't attack Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, but should invade Israel. That video has over 80,000 views. And, you know, and of course we have other video. I've shown you other videos with tens of thousands of views that we've done. So, our videos do get many thousands of views every single week. Many thousands of people are going to our videos every week. But that's not enough. Because the gravity of the situation, the enormity of the crisis that we're facing in the United States and in Israel is so big, we must have much more than that. We must reach far more people, and we can't just reach hit and miss. Here, people see a video here, a video there. Every few months, some people catch one of our videos. That's not enough, because they're bombarded constantly with the evil, negative, brainwashing messages, and unfortunately, that's working on most people. We've got to be there, and they've got to see our videos repeatedly as the antidote to all of the insanity that exists in this world. The voice of truth and sanity and wisdom, that's what our videos have to be. And that's what they are. And they're the best made videos, thanks to Shlomo, our great admin. And so, I again appeal to you now on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, on the eve of this new year, when we have to evaluate what we've done in the past year and look upon what we've done. First of all, I wish all of our great JTFers a wonderful Rosh Hashanah, a wonderful new year where you are inscribed in the Book of Life. Ketiva v'chatima tova l'shana tova u'metuka. That means you should be written and inscribed for a good year and a sweet year. That's the traditional blessing we give for Rosh Hashanah, for the new year. Very important time for us. In the next 2 days, the holiday is going to be 2 days, next 2 days. And then we have the high holidays. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to have Jewish holidays coming up. Next week is Yom Kippur. After that is Sukkot. After that is Simchat Torah. So we've got 4 weeks of holidays coming up. This is a time when I again appeal to people. Please help us spread the word about these videos. When we ask you to favorite, comment, when we have a new video that comes out in English and in Hebrew, English and Hebrew videos, please, when we ask you to favorite, like, and comment on the videos, both on ZooTube and on Facebook, help us do that. Help us with this. And help us with both our forum and our Facebook page to make them interesting, post interesting, put up interesting posts, open interesting threads so that they'll be inviting, so that people want to join and want to participate. Help us with that. Help us with the videos. Help us with the forum. Help us with the Facebook page. Help us on both ZooTube and Facebook. It's important. I think we all know how important it is. And most of all, we need financial support. We need financial support. It's absolutely urgent. People can do it easily with their credit card. All they have to do is go to the Donate Now button. There's a big Donate Now button on top on the English language main page, jtf.org, or on the Hebrew language main page, which is hayamin.org. There's a Donate Now button. You click on the Donate Now button, and within 2 or 3 minutes, you can make a credit card donation that will go directly to JTF, that will go directly to JTF, to JTF's bank account. And you can help us so that we'll have the funds, because the one problem we have is our budget is a joke. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. If we had a bigger budget, you can imagine all the good that we could do. We're already doing good, but we could do so much more. And of course, the great JTFers that send checks, money orders, and cash donations to our post office box, God bless those great JTFers. We need that. Every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a difference. It really does. Because we're bleeding right now. We bleed, you know, we've been bleeding for a while now. When I say we're bleeding, we're having a hard time just making ends meet in terms of doing what we're doing now. Because our budget is not a budget that is appropriate for this type of huge challenge. So please, help us financially. Help us spread the word about the videos. Get involved. Be active. This is the time. The time is now. Look at what's at stake. Look around you. Look at how the world is burning a lot, is burning up. And how important it is that there be a voice of truth to expose what the situation really is. You know, in your heart, you know we're right. And in your guts, you know they're nuts. You know that JTF stands for the truth. And I know you want us to succeed, but it's not enough to just want us to succeed and want us to get the word out and want us to convince people and want us to build a big movement and want us to change the results in the election November 6th. It's not enough to just want it. We got to all do things in order to make it happen. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen by itself. We have to act. And then we pray to God, of course, that he help us, that he make us successful in what we're doing. We should always pray to God, and then we can ask God to help. Once we've done something, then we can turn to God and ask to help, and ask for his help. We should always ask for his help, no matter what, of course. And so I thank the great JTFers who have been helping us. God bless you. God bless you. And may you have may all of our great JTFers have a wonderful Rosh Hashanah, a great new year, and may this year be a year of redemption for Israel and for the world. Okay, let's go to our great questions for this week. And if I can find, let me see, there we go, I found them. Let me just make sure this is going all right. Yes, it looks like it's okay. And the first question this week is from Jericho Missiles, who once again is a new person on the forum, and once again, I'll welcome you again to the forum. Jericho Missiles writes, and I quote, "What are your feelings about Serge and Beat Klarsfeld? Are they identical to those of Simon Wiesenthal?" Unquote. Well, yes, they are similar to those of Simon Wiesenthal. Wiesenthal, of course, is the self-hating Jew who defended Nazi war criminals like Kurt Waldheim, and a whole book was written about him defending Kurt Waldheim and defending other Nazi war criminals while he lived in Austria after all Austria did to the Jews during the Holocaust. I mean, disgraceful record of the type of appeasement and cowardice and ghetto mentality thinking that led to the Holocaust in the first place. Simon Wiesenthal is a disgrace. The Simon Wiesenthal Center is a disgrace. They call us a hate group. These are people that kiss the behind of Obama and all the Muslims and all the Jew haters and have a so-called museum of tolerance for gays and for Muslims and for everybody else who are completely against what the Torah stands for, but they don't believe in Torah. So that's Simon Wiesenthal. Serge and Beat Klarsfeld are a couple that called themselves Nazi hunters. They claim they were Nazi hunters. Meanwhile, he's a Jew, and his wife is not Jewish. And he intermarried. He married outside the Jewish faith. That's the destruction of the Jewish people. That's the best thing you could do for Hitler and the Nazis, is have intermarriage and assimilation. What an example, they say. He marries outside the Jewish faith. That's the end of the Jewish people if that happens. And if that's not enough, he lives in Germany. They live in Germany, which is also forbidden. I mean, for Jews to be living in Germany or in Austria, like Simon Wiesenthal did. Countries that slaughtered millions of Jews and that's where you live? After the Inquisition in Spain, for centuries, the rabbis had a complete boycott of Spain, a cherem, which is what Jews should do against nations that murder our people. That is what we should do. And instead, these animals decide to continue to live in Germany after what Germany did to over 6 million Jews. Jews who live in Germany are traitors. Jews who live in countries like Germany and Poland and Austria after what those nations did to the Jewish people during the Holocaust are spitting on the graves of over 6 million Jews. And then it came out this year, I think it was this year that it came out, some files were released from the Stasi. The Stasi were the East German Communist Secret Police. And it was revealed that Beat Klarsfeld worked for the Stasi and was receiving payments from them. She was working for the East German Communist Secret Police. This is the big Nazi hunter, working for the East German Communist Secret Police. You mean the communists who were working with the Soviets? That's not also Nazi war crimes? I mean, what a disgrace. What a disgraceful... The whole thing is just a disgrace from start to finish. Anyway, thank you, Jericho Missiles. I hope that answers your question. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmo to Obama, who's really one of the great JTFers. We love you, Yimach Shmo to Obama. You are a really great JTFer. Yimach Shmo to Obama writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, why are so many soldiers being killed in Afghanistan, far more under this creature named Obama than under Bush?" Unquote. That's very true, and because Obama has a policy of appeasing Muslim terrorism. And, you know, this week alone, we saw American soldiers again being killed in Afghanistan by the Muslim terrorists that the United States is arming and training. And I mean, this is the inevitable result. The United States should never have gone into Afghanistan. They should have just carpet bombed the whole damn area and just wiped out all those areas where they supported the 9/11 and supported the terrorists. That's it. Wipe them out. You don't send American soldiers in there to be picked off and killed every day. Another soldier is killed, or every week another 6, 7, 8, 9 soldiers are killed. You don't do something like that. But there's no question that this is just absolute insanity, and Obama is certainly, I didn't agree with what Bush was doing there either, but Obama certainly has made things worse. Thank you, Yimach Shmo. And now we go to the great West Coast JTF. And West Coast JTF put together for us the JTF archive site, where you can see and hear hundreds of JTF programs. They have the JTF audio and video archive. It's at jtfarchive.org. You can see programs going back years and years, programs going back from JTF, some of our real classic and great programs. And all of this, again, is at jtfarchive.org, a fantastic site that was put together by the wonderful West Coast JTF. And West Coast JTF now writes, and I quote, "What really happened at Shatila? Did Ariel Sharon commit war crimes?" Unquote. The only war crimes Ariel Sharon committed were against Jews, when he expelled Jews from their homes and had Jewish soldiers were murdered for no reason in Lebanon. Over 1,000 Jewish soldiers were killed because they tied the hands of the Jewish soldiers in the first Lebanon war and didn't let them defend themselves. And that's Ariel Sharon did that. In Shatila, in Sabra and Shatila, which were two PLO terrorist so-called refugee camps, the Lebanese Christians went in and decided to get revenge. The Jews didn't kill anybody in Sabra and Shatila. The Lebanese Christians went in and killed Muslim terrorists in revenge, because the PLO terrorists, the people who call themselves Palestinians, there are no Palestinians, the Arab so-called refugees, they slaughtered 300,000 Lebanese Christians. There was a Holocaust against the Lebanese Christians. So the Lebanese Christians decided to avenge the slaughter of their families, of their men, women, and children. And because the Israeli army was outside and didn't intervene when the Lebanese Christians went in, they said the Israelis committed war crimes. What baloney. If Israel and the Lebanese Christians were half normal, the Lebanese Christians are normal. They wanted to get revenge, which is appropriate. If Israel was normal, they would have wiped out all the terrorists. Just wiped them out and their supporters. But anyway, no war crimes were committed against Arab Muslim Nazis by Israel. If Israel was much too nice to the Arab Muslim Nazis, that's a war crime against the Jewish people. Arab Muslim Nazis were treated with velvet gloves all of these years by Israeli Jews. That's the crime. Anyway, thank you very much, West Coast JTF. And now we go to the great Selhar, who's very active on both the Hebrew and the English forums. Selhar writes, and I quote, "Is there anything you can say that may convince liberal Jews to vote Romney? Those of them that who still say they care about Israel and Jewish issues," unquote. We're trying. These Jewish liberals have to decide what's more important to them. If they're going to continue to vote for these on these anti-Torah positions that they have on abortion and gay rights and all these other crazy things that they stand for, if they're going to vote on that basis instead of being concerned about Israel, then of course, they're going to vote for Obama. But if the survival of Israel is important, anyone, to anyone, Jew or Gentile, that the survival of Israel is important to, they have to vote for Mitt Romney. And we're doing our best to convince them of that. Barack Hussein Obama is a mortal threat to Israel's very survival. Any Jew or Gentile who claims to support Israel and doesn't want to commit the terrible sin of going against God's people in Israel has to vote for Mitt Romney. And we attempt to convince people to do that. Anyway, thank you very much, Selhar. And now we go to the great Me'er Kat, who, by the way, has just gone on Aliyah to Israel. Kol hakavod, yishar koach, Me'er Kat. Me'er Kat is now active also on our Hebrew forum as well. Me'er Kat writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, I understand that you condemn Israeli establishments that hire Arabs. Does that mean Israel has no anti-discrimination laws?" Unquote. Israel does have laws like that, but they're only selectively applied. If Arabs all the time discriminate against Jews, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. No one touches them. And Israel itself, the Israeli government, the Israeli regime itself discriminates against Jews in favor of Arabs because they have affirmative action in Israel in favor of the Arabs, just like you have affirmative action in America in favor of blacks and against whites. But there are ways to get around that. There are ways to avoid hiring Arabs, and no Jewish establishment or business should hire from the Arab enemy. You don't hire your enemy. You don't feed your enemy. You don't make it easier for your enemy to stay in Israel. You just don't do things like that. And so, yes, we do condemn Israeli establishments that hire Arabs. There are all types of ways and tricks that you can use to get around hiring Arabs, and Israeli establishments should use those tricks and in terms of avoiding legal consequences. And if they can't, then you don't have a business where you're feeding your enemies and going to a different business. But in the vast majority of cases, there are ways to get around it if people really wanted to. The reason they hire Arabs is not because of anti-discrimination laws. The reason they hire Arabs is because they're cheaper, because they pay them less. It's pure greed. That's the reason they hire Arabs. And there is no excuse for it. Anyway, thank you very much, Me'er Kat. And by the way, Jews should boycott places that hire Arabs and that hire Muslims. Jews should, if they hire from the Arab enemy or from the Muslim enemies of the Jewish people, Jews should boycott those establishments. Anyway, thank you, Me'er Kat. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom, opinions and insights on Sufis and Sufism," unquote. I don't know all the details about this. This is an offshoot of Islam. The Muslims say they're not real Muslims, and they say they are real Muslims. And it's an offshoot of Islam. It's one of these crazy sects. I don't know the details of their religion or their religious beliefs. I don't know. I don't know enough about them. I know that they are persecuted in the Muslim world, but they claim that what they claim that they're not that they represent genuine Islam. Who knows? I have no idea. Sorry, Tag Mechir, I just don't know enough about them. And now Tag Mechir writes, and I quote, some Divrei Torah for the high holidays and Sukkot, unquote. Okay, Tag Mechir, if you want to ask me on the week of Sukkot, I prefer to do it on the week of Sukkot. So why don't we start this week, why don't we speak about Rosh Hashanah? Because this is the week of Rosh Hashanah. And when the week of Sukkot comes, you know, you of course can pose a question about Sukkot. This is a very, very important time for the Jewish people. It's really an important time for the whole world. But Jews believe that this is a very important time. They know that this is a very important time, Jews that are God-fearing Jews, because it is the beginning of the new year. It's the real beginning of the real new year. And that means it's a time when we have to answer for the things that we've done in this past year. And we have to correct the things we've done wrong, because we're going to be judged. God is going to decide whether to write us in the book of life or not write us in the book of life, God forbid. So it's a time when we have to do tshuva, when we have to repent and have contrition for the things that were done wrong. And we have to resolve to change our ways and to pray to God to forgive us and have mercy on us and to change our ways, so that in the new year, we will behave the way we're supposed to behave. Harambam, Maimonides, Harambam, says that there are three things a Jew has to do, and this is the halakha, this actually is halakha, it's Jewish law. There are three things a Jew has to do to repent for having done wrong. Number one, has to recognize and admit that the Jew has to recognize and admit that he did wrong. Confess and admit it. Secondly, has to commit himself to changing what he did wrong. Has to change his ways and change his behavior. And also has to try, and finally has to also try to make up for the wrong that was done. Has to try to compensate for the wrong that was done. And so this is a time, a very important time, when doing tshuva, when repenting for our sins, and of course even more so the next week with Yom Kippur, but it really starts now. It starts on Rosh Hashanah. This is a very, very important time for us. And Jews should not take it lightly. This is an important, very important 2 days of the year. Rosh Hashanah, it comes on 2 days. And we should take it very, very seriously, and we should resolve to be better Jews and be better people on this very important day. Anyway, thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss the differences between Barack Hussein Obama and Jimmy Carter in terms of their objectives, mindset, in the Oval Office, unquote. Well, first of all, there are some similarities. Both of them are Jew haters who want to destroy Israel. Are vicious Jew haters who want to destroy Israel. Obama's reason and motivation for that is because he first of all is an anti-white black racist who hates white people, who wrote about how he agreed with Malcolm X that he wants to eliminate whatever white blood he has in him and just wants to be pure black. That's why he married Michelle Obama, who I think looks like she is pure black. So he's an anti-white racist, first of all. And Obama's also a Muslim. He believes in the Islamic religion. And so that gives him the motivation to want to destroy Israel. And his goal in America is actually to take over the United States, to turn the United States into a Muslim country, to have third world people and Muslims eventually take over the United States and use the great mighty power of America to advance the evil objectives of Islam. That's really his goal. He also wants the United States to become a socialist nation that basically redistributes wealth from the predominantly white middle class to most to black communities and to minority communities. He wants to take all the money that white people worked hard for and hand it over to people who are on welfare and food stamps and get other benefits and basically live off of the predominantly white middle class. So his goals are horrific goals. They will, of course, destroy the result will be the destruction of the United States. They want to destroy Israel. He wants to literally destroy Israel. And he has, those are the reasons for his objectives, his anti-white racism and his Islamic, his belief in Islam. Jimmy Carter, on the other hand, is a vicious anti-Semite. Some of it is theological anti-Semitism. He hates the Jews and believes in replacement theology. That's what happens when you have replacement theology. You become like Jimmy Carter. He believes the Jews are no longer God's people, and he wants to replace them and destroy them, actually. He despises them. And as far as America's concerned, he believes that the role of America is to become a socialist, left-wing, appeasing nation with weakness and appeasement and capitulation before all of its enemies. He thinks that's the role America should be playing in the world. That's what America's destiny is, which of course also would destroy America. So in the end, the result is destruction from both of them, but with different motivations. And unfortunately, Obama is more effective in carrying out his agenda than Jimmy Carter was. We see in the polls, and we see what's happening now, that Obama's impact, history will judge, has been even more destructive than the terrible things Jimmy Carter did. And Jimmy Carter did some very terrible things, but I think Obama is going to be judged to have been even worse than Jimmy Carter, believe it or not. Anyway, thank you very much, EB22. And now the great Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, "We saw how the Muslims of Egypt and Libya reacted. What can we learn from them as good Jews when they do the same thing to us?" Unquote. Well, great point, Dr. Dan, as always. Dr. Dan is the voice of reason and logic on our forum. Great point. And the fact is that these mobs really do represent the Muslim world, and they really do represent Islam. These wild, screaming, flag-burning, murderous mobs represent what Islam commands Muslims to do, and this is how Muslims are commanded to behave. And there is a consensus in the Muslim world that Muslims are supposed to be violent and murderous in response to this film and blame everybody who's not a Muslim for what one person did in making a video on YouTube. And again, as I mentioned in my opening, the video on YouTube is a video which simply told the truth about Islam. I mean, it said that Muhammad was a pedophile, which he was, that he was a murderer, which he was, that he was a rapist, which he was. I mean, all the things it said are things that the Quran and the Hadith themselves document. There's no question that all of that was true. And so Jews have to recognize that by rendering Israel defenseless, by retreating from Jewish land and giving up our sacred homeland and creating a so-called Palestine state and doing all the other things that the evil Jew-haters of the world demand and the self-hating Jews demand, we are opening ourselves up to these wild, evil mobs that want to slaughter every last Jew, and they will slaughter every last Jew if, God forbid, they ever get the chance. That's what we should be learning from this. Anyway, thank you very much, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Brennan fan who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, Obama is winning in large part because he wants taxpayer-funded abortion contraception for all. Why is this so important to people?" Unquote. Great question, Brennan fan, and the reason it's important is because people want to be able to commit sin and not have the consequences of their sin, not have to deal with the consequences of their sin. If people go and have premarital sex, which is a sin, which is wrong, and then a woman becomes pregnant, they want to be able to murder the baby. They want to be able to get rid of it. They want abortion on demand to be a form of contraception. And they want the woman to have the ability to the Obama position, which is also, by the way, Bill Clinton's position. Bill and Hillary Clinton have the same position, that abortion should be permitted right up until the time when the baby is about to be born, partial birth abortion. Even in the ninth month of pregnancy, A woman should have a right to murder to murder her fully formed baby 9 months into her pregnancy. Bill Clinton repeatedly vetoed attempts by the Congress to outlaw partial birth abortion. And Barack Hussein Obama supports partial birth abortion. Barack Hussein Obama in the Illinois state legislature even voted for live birth abortion. What is live birth abortion? That means the baby is already born. The baby's already outside of the womb. And what happened was the doctors from Planned Parenthood, yamach shmam, they attempted to kill the baby, but the baby, sometimes in abortions, the baby manages to get out sometimes and escape sometimes if they don't do the abortion the way, if they don't crush the baby's head. Sometimes they pull at the baby and the baby winds up just getting out alive of the mother's womb. So what they do in Planned Parenthood is they smother the baby with towels. They smother and choke the baby to death after it's already been born. That's something that happens, that has happened frequently. And Obama thinks live birth abortion is something that should be legal. You should be able to kill your baby, murder your baby, even after the baby's out of the womb. So this is, you know, this is, of course, what would lead, of course, God will destroy America if America continues down this road. That's the end of America. If America continues down this road, America will be destroyed because God will not tolerate this type of behavior. Tens of millions of babies have been murdered in the United States since the Roe v. Wade decision. And I can assure you that is not acceptable in the eyes of the Creator, and He does decide when the nations rise or fall. But we have people who don't look at things, who don't care about that, just think, live for the moment, and those are the type of people that are going to vote for Obama. Anyway, thank you very much, Brian Fan. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Do you believe that Hashem has hardened the hearts of the Arabs and caused them to reject overtures by America?" Unquote. Absolutely. Great point, Maimonides. It says in the Bible that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And Maimonides, teaches us that that means that God takes, as part of His punishment, God takes away free will from evil people sometimes. Sometimes when people cross a certain line of wickedness, God takes their free will away because He wants to punish them. He doesn't want them to repent. He doesn't want them to see the madness of what they're doing. He wants to make sure that they get punished because they've done so much evil that justice demands that they be punished. And so God took away Pharaoh's free will and hardened his heart. And this is something that we saw with the Arab Muslim Nazis, not just the overtures of America. Israel offered Yasser Arafat, the PLO, Fatah Muslim Nazi terrorist leader, and the Arab Hitler. Israel offered Arafat at the Camp David Accords 97% of Judea and Samaria, half of Jerusalem, and even a portion of the Negev in the pre-1967 borders. In other words, Israel would be 6 to 9 miles wide, and Israel would have committed suicide. Israel offered to do this insane thing and create this Palestine state with Israel in the pre-67 borders. Israel already offered this to Arafat when Ehud Barak was the prime minister. Thankfully, Baruch Hashem, thankfully, Arafat rejected it, and the Arab world rejected it. And this has happened many times, and this is because God is protected little Israel. Even though the leaders of Israel are traitors, God protects His people, has protected His people. But you know, there's a limit, there could be a limit on that. We can't depend on that happening every time. So we really have to work to prevent a situation where eventually this is going to come to pass. This is going to happen. Anyway, Maimonides, but the answer is yes. God does harden the heart of the Arabs and the enemy to protect us, but there's a limit on how much God is going to... If the Jews insist upon doing evil and insist upon this suicidal lunacy, we can't be sure that God is going to miraculously save us every time. Cannot depend on that. And that's why we've got to work to prevent this lunacy from continuing. Because eventually, we're going to face disaster from it. We're already facing disaster from it. Thank you, Maimonides. And now we go to the great Cherutnik. Baruch Hashav. Welcome back, Cherutnik. Cherutnik writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, haven't been posting for a while. Please tell me your thoughts on antinatalism and your best argument against it," unquote. Well, for those who don't know, antinatalism is the philosophy that people shouldn't have babies, that people shouldn't procreate. I actually think antinatalism is good for Muslims and for evil people. I wish most of the people in the third world, I think they should follow antinatalism. It's actually the evil people that have the most babies. That's the upside down reality in the world. But Jews and righteous Gentiles should follow the commandment of the Bible, the very first commandment in the book of Genesis, which says, be fruitful and multiply. Jews and righteous Gentiles should have as many babies as possible. Be fruitful and multiply. God has a reason for wanting us to have as many righteous people in the world as possible. That's the best thing we could do for the world. Righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles should indeed procreate and procreate as much as is possible. And the reason why is because obviously we want more righteous people in the world, and because God commands us to. And people who do procreate, when there are large Jewish families and large families of righteous Gentiles, the consequences for the world are good. This world is a better place to live when that happens. Anyway, thank you, Cherutnik. And now we go to the great secular believer who writes, and I quote, secular believer, I haven't seen you for a while. Welcome back. It's great to see you. I haven't seen you, for a couple of months. And it's always great. Secular believer always has fantastic posts and threads that he puts on the forum. It's always a pleasure to see him. Secular believer writes, and I quote, Obama's attempt to persecute the creator of the YouTube video is doubly outrageous. It is excusing Islamists and hurting free speech, unquote. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Look how they're going after this guy. I mean, what an outrage. Because he created a video that tells the truth about Islam. And now they're trying to find a way to violate his probation and put him in prison. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The same U.S. government and the same Justice Department that welcomed Yasser Arafat to the United States, who murdered thousands of Americans, or thousands of Israeli Jews and hundreds of Americans were murdered by the PLO and Fatah over the years. The same U.S. government that now is giving billions of dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, a movement that openly says they want to destroy the United States and want Islam to conquer the world. The same Justice Department that allowed the Black Panthers and Al Sharpton and others to commit all types of violations of people's rights, civil rights and other rights. The Justice Department allowed the Black Panthers to stop white people from voting at voting booths in 2008, at the polls in 2008. And the Justice Department did nothing when Al Sharpton incited someone at his rallies against a Jewish store owner in Harlem named Freddy's, incited one of the demonstrators there to go into the store and murder 6 store employees and then burn the store to the ground. Nothing ever happened to Al Sharpton, even though he incited all of this and he was ranting against what he called white interlopers and making all types of racist attacks. You can be sure if it was the other way around, if this was a white guy doing this to a black business, you can be sure that white guy would spend the rest of his life in prison. So, I mean, this is all an obscenity. And the end result is that we want to enforce here a politically correct world where you are not allowed to say anything about Islam. You're not allowed to tell the truth. You're not allowed to expose what Islam itself teaches. You are not permitted to do that. You must do whatever the Muslims dictate that you do. That's the world that they want to create. And that's the world Barack Hussein Obama wants to create together with his Justice Department. And that's the world we're going to have if, God forbid, Obama's reelected. Anyway, thank you very much, Secular Believer. And I want to thank everybody for coming to the program this week. And once again, I wish all of our great JTFers a wonderful New Year, a wonderful Rosh Hashanah, for all of our great JTFers, and for all Jews and righteous Gentiles. Amen, ken yehi ratzon. Until next week, shalom.